Good morning.
Good morning.
On this glorious Palm Sunday. Do you think this day was the same kind of day when Jesus rode on his donkey? And this beautiful, beautiful day. We enter into God's gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We would like to welcome any first-time visitors. Are there any first-time visitors with us on this beautiful morning? Just stand up. Well, if you've been here for many, many years, or you've just been here for a few weeks, welcome. We are so glad you are here with us this morning. There are many announcements in the bulletin. Please take the time to read them. And does anyone have anything to add to the announcements in the bulletin? Yes, Sherry.
Jesse and I would like to ask everyone, please, if every family could just give one child to the trial and altar. Now, I know everybody got talk for Christmas. That they said and thought, why did they give me this? You know, where was their idea? What was their thinking? Instead of putting them in a garden sale, give it to the silent auction. They're probably going to have plenty of paper items as far as gift certificates and all that, but we like to see something on the table too. So if each family could just give one item, please, for the silent auction. Okay.
And the silent auction is the 23rd of April, along with the barbecue. Louise.
I'm begging too.
You're begging too, okay. Let's hear your beg.
I'm begging too. For the barbecue time, I'm going to post 3 pages on the door that the Lord will be going in the gym, whatever you're going to get home. And I want everybody to look at it. I want everybody to sign up for 1 or 2 or 3 or however you need to do it. Because we really need one here. We've got to set up tables. We've got to set up. We need to serve.
Thank you. So, yes. Oh, okay. We're all told to be good stewards of our money. Well, you've now been given 3 excellent ways to be good stewards of your time. Okay, now, also on your pew, you have, or Joyce is going to be handing them out, the registration pads. Please sign the registration pads so that we know that you were here today. Yes, Jim. Okay, well, forget Jim's bag. She just took care of her. Okay?
Let's see. So on the next Sunday, this service will probably double in attendance. It is Easter Sunday. Sometimes we do. If you can welcome the people before us, especially if some from this service would stay for the 10:15 service and help with parking if we need it. If you'll think about that, if you go to Sunday school, then you just be out in the parking lot and help people. We've got parking behind the gymnasium, and that's solid. It's just got grass growing over it. And that is the biggest Sunday of the year for attendance normally. And so please keep that in mind if you just like to be in the parking lot and point cars. Don't let anybody drive away. Because they don't find a parking place. If they choose to drive away, that's another story. They don't let them drive away because they don't find a parking space. And then for the first service, if you get here a little early, we don't know what happened. Probably won't have a parking problem for any top service, but it still wouldn't hurt if one or two of you would kind of stay in the parking lot to welcome new people. No one ever comes and not get a welcome. Thank you.
And he just brought up the subject of Sunday school. There are classes available after this service for each and every one of you. I happen to teach the adult charity class, which are for the more mature citizens in our congregation. And we would, and by the way, that includes Melanie and myself. So, okay. So we would be indeed thrilled to have you join the class with us and be part of our class. But there are classes for each and every one. Stay for the fellowship. Many times we don't get much into the lesson, but have a lot of fellowship, and charity class is a very praying class. So be sure and find a class that you are comfortable in. Prayer requests and praises. Yes.
I want to inject a short announcement and then a prayer request. I have to say that a long time ago, it was adult Sunday school that got me, it was Bible school that got my child here, it was adult Sunday school that kept me coming here. We have at least 5 or more adult classes. If you feel you're not getting enough out of your walk and you're not in a Sunday school class, check some of them out, because it may be what you're missing. I highly recommend them. And then the barbecue is another thing, that the fellowship of working together, you just, I mean, you think you're doing the church a favor by giving an hour of your time, you end up being mostly blessed as you learn a different side of people who go to church here, and it's a good side. So I highly recommend it, both those things. And then the prayer request is that Joanna, third grade teacher, knows Bill, who's been on our prayer list for some time, did have relations to him. And so prayers for her family. She has a son and a daughter and a husband. She's 51. She was very much, she was assistant principal, very much a team, a part of the team down there at Knoxville. Pray for the staff. Pray for our James Clemens, who is being her interim teacher and will finish out this year.
Susan Durham had eye surgery yesterday, just corrected the surgery. Ms. Diana Cole-Hack, I believe they pronounced it, the minister to the Knoxville Methodist Church, discovered this week that she had cancer also.
Yes, Sherry. Charles West. Any other prayer requests or praises? Yes. Any other prayer requests or praises? We will pause now for a moment of silent prayer, remembering the prayer requests that have been said and those that are unsaid. Amen. We are here to give glory and honor and praise to God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus, our Savior, through song, prayer, giving, speaking, hearing, and responding. Our call to worship is responsive as printed in the bulletin. Please join me. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I thank Thee that Thou hast answered me and hast become my salvation.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our
eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us
turning our hymnals to hymn 174. Close it. Father, we do come welcoming you into our presence this morning and welcoming you, O Lord, into our hearts again. Thank you, Lord, for desiring to come. Thank you that you want to be a part of us. Lord, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. We thank you for the experience that he experienced on that ancient Palm Sunday. And Lord, we just want to offer that praise that is due him. Lord, give us that ability as we have assembled in your name. And in the name of Jesus we pray, praying the prayer that he taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen. You may be seated. My apologies for exchanging the words.
You're forgiven. Let us express our faith in God by repeating the Apostles' Creed that can be found in the back of your hymnal on page 716 or on the wall in front of you. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The old rugged cross. Let's sing the first and last stanzas. The old rugged cross.
Can't help but thinking when we sing the old rugged cross, it's as if my father was still sitting beside me in his rich bass voice singing that song that was one of his favorites, and he has now exchanged it for a crown in heaven. But that song just gets me every time, because it's just like he's sitting right beside me. We express thanks to God by giving of our tithes and offerings, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Will the ushers please come forward? Nikki Naren will be reading our first scripture lesson this morning.
Luke 19:28-40, the triumphal entry. After Jesus had said this, "We went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, Go to the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, tell them the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the crowd of disciples began joyfully praise in Lord voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the praises in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebroke your disciples." I tell you, he replied, if you keep quiet, the stones will cry out.
Luke 23:27-33. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. The word of God for the people of God.
Today is Palm Sunday, but it's also called Passion Sunday, the Sunday of the Passion. We do not have a Sunday for the crucifixion. We celebrate or remember this day, this year at least, Jesus entering into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And if we don't mention the Passion, we may just forget it. And we don't do that. We can't do that. Now, we will have a Good Friday service on Friday evening. But we are well aware, and you are well aware, that the most people come to church on Sunday morning. But we do encourage you to participate in that service on Friday evening also. But this morning we've tried to put together, join together, the Palm Sunday and the Passion of our Christ, Good Friday. Two parades. How many of you have ever been to a parade?
Sure.
Everybody's been to a parade. I thought I'd get at least a hand raised from every one of you. You like parades. What do you think about parades? I remember my first parade being a Christmas parade in my hometown. A country boy coming to town with his parents to see the various floats, hear the bands, and to see Santa Claus. Sticking close to my parents, but trying to get as far out into the street as I could get with safety, trying to see over those other people that were wanting to see Santa Claus also, and just about freezing as we watched the floats go by. Since then, there have been many parades I've participated in, homecoming parades and the Nolensville United Methodist Church Lawn Festival Parade, and most of us have participated there. Through the medium of television, I've seen Thanksgiving Day parades from New York, Rose Bowl parades from the West Coast, and many more. Once I even had the privilege of seeing a presidential parade in Nashville and waving as he went by. Our lesson tells us about Jesus and a parade. Actually, two parades. And Jesus being the center of attention in both of these. The first was on Palm Sunday. All four Gospels tell of this event. It's John that named it Palm Sunday, or he names the tree from which the branches that covered the street were taken. You notice Luke only talks about clothing being on the ground or placed on the ground. He doesn't even mention any branches. He just saw a lot of clothing and didn't see it necessary to mention the branches too. But John is more specific and he says palm branches. Palm Sunday. We could just as well call it branch Sunday or clothing Sunday. I guess we might if we so desired. But somewhere along the way, Palm Sunday stuck. And at the 10:15 service, the children will be bringing in palm branches and leading a parade themselves. Jerusalem was occupied during this time by the Romans. The Roman military, the military occupation. And had been, Jerusalem had been so occupied for some time. The Israelites, citizens of Jerusalem and the whole nation of Israel, or Judah, they were hoping for a Messiah. A Messiah who would come and enable them to overthrow the Romans and send them packing, send them back home. The prophets had promised a Messiah, one who would redeem Israel. And through the years, while the Romans were occupying Jerusalem, Israel, there had been many uprisings, but all had been squashed. Jesus was their hope during this time. He was their hope for freedom. So when Jesus rode into town, they received him as a hero. He received a hero's welcome. The cries were, "Save us! Save us!" Hosanna is translated, "Save us." So we see that they welcomed Jesus with open arms. They welcomed him with exuberance. He was their latest hope. And Jesus said, if those who welcomed him, and Luke speaks of it being disciples that welcomed him, students, followers, said if they had have been quiet, the stones themselves would cry out. How could that happen? Well, what Jesus was saying, the message must be told. That Jesus is the Savior. He is coming to save. Not as the Jerusalem population expected. They had misinterpreted Jesus' action, His teaching. They got it in their mind that He would be their military leader, and they couldn't get it out. But still, Jesus said, if the disciples didn't welcome him and cry out in much joy, that the stones would be speaking. A great day on Sunday. Palm Sunday it came to be known as. But by Friday, the mood had changed. One might observe as you turn to the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Luke that by Friday the welcome had been withdrawn. We withdraw that great welcome that we offered to you on Sunday. The welcome mat had been taken up and stashed away somewhere because Jesus wasn't acting as they thought he should act, those who were welcoming him so on Sunday. I found a story about Napoleon. Back in the 1800s, he was a terror to behold. He was popular among some people, his own at least. And his army was moving through Switzerland. Everywhere Napoleon and his army went, Napoleon was greeted with thunderous applause. "Long live the king," they shouted. "Vive la France! Hail to the Emperor Napoleon!" Napoleon didn't seem to get too excited. You might say he took it all in stride. One of his supporters asked him, "Isn't it great to hear the roar of the crowd, the support of the people?" And Napoleon replied, "The same people that are cheering me today would cheer just as loudly at my execution." And that's what had happened to Jesus. Possibly the same people. That's essentially what happened with Jesus. At least the same time. They welcomed him with much joy and a great welcome on Sunday. But the mood had changed by Friday. The mood had changed. To quote another person concerning this, especially Napoleon's experience, but Jesus's too, "One day you're their hero. The next day you could be a total zero." John's Gospel. John's Gospel tells us that many who were welcoming Jesus to town on Sunday had been present, or at least knew about, the raising of Lazarus. See, that's back in the 11th chapter. The 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. And then we find the triumphal entry, as it is called, the Palm Sunday parade, as we are referring to it this morning. We find that in the 12th chapter. And John's Gospel tells us that many who knew about the raising of Lazarus were following Jesus. Many of the Jews. And John chapter 12, verse 17 says that the people who were present when Lazarus was raised spread the word. They told the message. They shared that experience that they had observed with their own eyes. They spread the word, and many who heard the word came out when he came to town to welcome him. Speculating on this, I think maybe they were hoping for a miracle, another miracle of some kind. We can always use a miracle, can we not? If we don't need one, it's great entertainment to see one. We see this if we flip through the channels on our television and stop at one of those religious channels. Good entertainment. But people needed it also. So maybe it was. The scriptures indicate that maybe they wanted some kind of miracle. Previously, Jesus had spoken of those who were with him being there because he had fed the 5,000 on a previous day. That's back in the 6th chapter of John. Maybe they were hoping for another good meal. Maybe they were hoping for another miracle to be performed in front of their eyes. But in regard to this, Jesus spoke of a greater blessing that he brought than just food for the stomach. He spoke of a greater value, the greater value of eternal life. Trying to get through to the people, I'm not here just to feed your mortal bodies in this life. I'm here to lead you into eternity with God. Eternal life. I'm here to give eternal life. And he was saying to them, that's why I'm here. He got their attention by feeding them, but some could never get past that. And we still have that situation today in many, many people's lives. I've come to him for a miracle, they say. Mark Axelrod, who is he? Just another preacher. A lot of says, he comments, a lot of people cheering for Jesus on Palm Sunday were simply caught up in the excitement of the event. You know, Lawn Festival, even here in our town. Many people come for the event of the parade. Maybe they have a child riding in a parade or a grandchild. Maybe they have a horse. Hopefully it's following up the parade. Often they put them in the front of the parade, though. Maybe they've got a fireman in the family and they want to see him ride in the truck and honk the horn at the children in the family. But Jesus' parade, his first parade, a lot of people, they were just caught up in the excitement. Excitement was going on. Let's go see what's happened. We get into the game. How many of us are really into NCAA basketball? Basically because of the excitement of the tournaments. Are we not? But these people who were so caught up in the excitement of the moment, they were not about to give serious consideration to a commitment to Jesus. They were not ready, at least at that time, to commit their lives to Jesus Christ. Is that why Jesus weeps over Jerusalem? We didn't read that far in Luke 19, but the following verses, Luke 19, verse 41, speaks of Jesus looking out over Jerusalem and seeing the city. Someone painted a picture of it being a night scene, and he's up on the hill and can see out over Jerusalem, and you can see the glowing lights down in the city. And Jesus weeps over the city. Luke 19, verse 41 and following, 44 through 44. Jesus loved these people so much. No more than he loves us, but he loved them so much. But they didn't love him back. How often is that the case today? Jesus loves us, this we know. The Bible tells us so. Do we love him back? Axelrod speaks of these people as carnival Christians. Carnival Christians. They enjoy the fun, but shy away from the commitment. Shy away from the call to obedience. Shy away from devotion, servitude. When the Jerusalem people, the people of Jerusalem, saw Jesus as their Savior of their world, when they saw Him as their victorious King, they could worship Him. They could shout for Him. When he did as they wanted him to do, they could support him. But when the going became difficult, when the going became demanding, when it became uncomfortable to be a follower of Jesus, they were not there. So, the Good Friday parade had a drastically different tone than the Palm Sunday parade. A much different tone. I'm aware that possibly it was a different group of people. Because Luke mentions on Palm Sunday disciples welcoming him, but others joining in. And very possibly was a different group of people on Good Friday than was present on Palm Sunday. But then that poses a question, where were those disciples on Good Friday? Well, the night before, all of them had ran. John hung around, stood at a distance. But he was there, at the cross at least. But you didn't hear John saying much. And he was a son of thunder, if you remember. Loud, boisterous voice, afraid of nothing at one time. But how different? How different are we than they? When the going gets tough, what happens? When it becomes uncomfortable to be a Christian, how do we respond? What do we do? How different are we than they? Are we a whole lot different? Or are we not much different? And each one of us must answer that for ourselves. People, Jesus has a blessing for us. Jesus has a blessing for us today, a miracle if we need it. But these blessings that Jesus offered us, they came through the cross. The blessing being the blessing of salvation. But it came through the cross and Jesus dying there. I think of Him carrying the cross as far as He could carry it. He could carry it no longer. A man named Simon from Cyrene was conscripted, drafted to carry it for him, to help him along. People, do we remember Him speaking of us taking up our cross and following Him? Do we remember that He spoke about denying ourselves, laying aside some of our pleasures, and being devoted to Him? The natural thing is where most of us operate in. The natural is what we can understand at least. And it's natural for us to want to have self satisfied. It's natural for us to want to have self satisfied. In this life, just like the people of Jerusalem, they wanted self-satisfaction. They wanted the Romans out of there. They wanted to run their own country. But Jesus knows that it's more important for us to experience heaven in heaven, not what little bit of heaven that we can experience here on earth. Jesus certainly blesses us now. It's a greater blessing is to follow. I remember as a child and into teenagehood going to the county fair. The county fair is not as big in this community where I live now, and when I lived in Nashville, it's not as big as it was when I was growing up. At least it's not as big in my mind. Going to the county fair was one of the highlights of the year. Did anybody experience that? Did any of you have that similar experience? It was a great experience. And go and spend one day there. Usually go on school day when all your friends were there. It was not It's much fun to go with your parents because you had to stick with them and couldn't have all that much fun. Nevertheless, how did we get there? Wasn't much money. We couldn't just go by and say, give us some money. We had to earn it. We had to earn it in our community picking cotton. At least we did. And if there's one miserable thing that you can do, in my mind, is to spend a hot August afternoon, a hot September afternoon, pulling a cotton sack through the field and picking it off of the picking cotton and cramming it in that sack and going to weigh up, and you think you've got 100 pounds maybe in that sack, you really maybe 50, and it weighs up 25 pounds. And you only get 2 cents a pound, see. Maybe 3 cents a pound later in the year. But that was picking that cotton, to me, was a cross to bear. But it was worth it because I could see the county fair, the Ferris wheel, the merry-go-round in the earlier days, the bumper cars. We love bumper cars. Love to bump our friends. Pop their neck if we could. We tried. More often I was bumped because mine wouldn't run like it should. It was difficult to go through, but it was worth it. It's difficult sometimes being a Christian, but I'm convinced it's worth it. And we need to tell the world that it's worth it. Somebody remembers the movie A League of Their Own, a girls' baseball team. Gina Davis had a fight with her sister, and she decided to quit the team. So she goes and begins to pack her things. She is leaving. The manager shows up and asks her, "Why are you leaving?" And her response was, "Because I don't like the game. It just got too hard." And he replied, "It's supposed to be hard. If it was easy, everyone would do it. The hard is what makes it great." And I'm convinced that the hard is what really makes Christian discipleship great. Don't run from the hard parts. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for calling us to be your disciples. And thank you, Lord, that Jesus would go through the hard for us. And Lord, give us strength to stick to it even through the hard. In Jesus' name we pray. Knowing the dangers, knowing the hard part, that there is a hard part to being a Christian, but knowing what on the other side of this life. Does anyone feel moved to commit their life to Jesus Christ this morning? If you feel so moved, I'll meet you here in the altar. We'll settle your relationship with God through Jesus Christ before we leave this place. Is it 4:10?
5:11.
I'm sorry. 5:11. I believe I asked us to sing 1 and 3.
Sam, 1 and 3.
to Wednesday night church.
Oh, is he still going?
Yeah.
Even though he broke up with
that. Yeah, he usually still goes to church.
He must be a husband next.
Yeah. Jeffrey Seaman, who was trying to figure out how to check the website. I told him he does computers for a living.
That's incredible.
He thought he had to have a password or something. He was trying to get into the members page, I think, which he didn't have to do.
Thank you.
next Sunday through a test and pushing buttons to pass. I flipped from DVD to computer and